Good morning, everyone. Right, before I get started, let me tell you four things about myself. Now, some of them might be true, but some of them might be false. So here we go. First thing, I physically cannot cross my legs. Now, I mean, I can cross them at the ankles, but I can't cross them over the knees. First thing. Second thing, my third cousin is Michael Caine. Not a lot of people know that. Third thing, at the age of 12, I ran 1 mile in under 4 minutes. The fourth thing, I am immune from local anaesthetic. So there's four things that I've told you about myself. Some of them might be true, some of them might be false. But the only way that you will really know which things that I've just told you are true is if you really know me. And the same goes for Jesus. You will only know what he can do and what he has done if you really get to know him. But I must point out, obviously, the benefits of knowing Jesus far outweigh the benefits of really knowing me. What I wanted to do today was for us to get to know a little bit more about Jesus. And I want you to park the four things that I've just told you about myself. You know, you're thinking, well, no, he couldn't have done that. Or, yes, did he? Is he? Because I'm not the important one in this building today. It's Jesus that is. So what I wanted to do was focus on the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. Because why the seven things that Jesus said on the cross? Because we need to understand the cross, and we need to understand the importance of the cross to enable us to know more about Jesus. I've actually, when I started doing this, believe it or not, I've ended up with now four sermons. Because, as Wes keeps saying, I would love to stand up here for the next 5 hours telling you about the cross, but I wouldn't put that on you. So if you feel you want to know more about the cross, invite me back up. And the next one that I've got is about how horrific the helplessness and the hope of the cross. And then following that, it's the cross in the world and what it means where we are. So sort of hitting the tarmac with the cross. And then the final one is what's after the cross. What do we have to look forward to? Why do we have, as the four H's say, the hope? But to apply it for life application for us. So let's get started on this, the seven things, the seven last things that Jesus said on the cross. So the first thing we hear in Luke 23, verse 34, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes by casting lots. So as I don't know if you remember, of those of you that were here, when I preached a few weeks ago, I told you that every year I have a saying that I try and adhere to. And my saying from last year was this: you will never know how strong your faith is until you forgive someone who is not sorry and accept an apology that you never receive. And here we have Jesus in this passage putting this saying into practice. But who was Jesus forgiving on the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing? He was asking God to forgive those who had initiated his death, for those who had actually physically caused his death, for those that were putting him to death, for those who had insulted him, and for those who stood by doing nothing, witnessing his death. So we as human beings, we can find it hard to forgive one person for doing something that they did against us. But here we have Jesus forgiving many. So why do I say this? Because Jesus doesn't expect any of us to do anything that he wouldn't be prepared to do himself. The second thing that Jesus said on the cross, we hear in Luke 23, verse 43. And it says, Jesus answered him, Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So one of the men being crucified next to Jesus realized who Jesus really was when he asked him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus was prepared to do far more than this, not just remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus was prepared to save this man. How was he going to save him? By preparing him a place in his kingdom. Jesus didn't need time to think about this, or he didn't need a list of all the good things that this man had done during his life. No, Jesus could see this man's heart. Jesus could see the realization that this man had accepted as he hung next to him on the cross. So Jesus accepted him there and then in the final hours of this man's life. This proves that our deeds, although we like to do them, are not going to be the things that save us. It's by our true faith in Jesus Christ, that's the thing that will save us. And through our true faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it leads us to do good works. It's not the other way around. Our good works are the things that lead us to Jesus. It's Jesus that leads us to our good works. So what did this man say to Jesus on the cross when he said, Today you will be with me in paradise? Well, we read it earlier in Luke 23 from verses 39 to 42. So just remind ourselves, because there's a little bit more in here that I want to go through with you. It says, one of the men who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since we are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that's where Jesus answered him, Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So how reassuring are these few words for us? The man realized that he had done something wrong and he had admitted it and also actually accepted his punishment as being justified. But he didn't expect to be forgiven. He didn't even ask to be forgiven. He just asked to be remembered. But Jesus had realized that this man knew that Jesus was God and that he had a kingdom in heaven that he was now going to. Man on the dying on a cross, just saying, remember me. But he got so much more. How much more does God give us than we need? God knows what we need. And it's all to do with how we come to God. And this is why I sort of felt the cross is so important, because the cross is our doorway, our passage, our bridge, our map to God, to his kingdom. The third thing that Jesus said on the cross, we hear in John 19, verses 26 to 27. And it says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciples, he said, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her home. So even while Jesus was dying on the cross, he was still concerned about family. He could see and he could feel his mother's pain. What he was saying here was, not see what they have done to me. Mother, look at how I'm suffering. This is not what he was saying. When he looked down on his mother, Jesus was saying, Mother, I love you. Jesus knew the suffering that his mother was going through. And even though he was suffering himself up on this cross, his concern was for his mother. So that's why he told the disciple John to take care of his mother, because he knew what his mother needed. And he knew the importance of family. And he knew the support and encouragement of love. So what I ask you today is, like Jesus, while he was up on this cross, while he was suffering, he was showering down love on his family. And what I ask of you today is, while you are not suffering, what can you do to show the love to your family? The love that you have for your family, like Jesus did up on the cross. The fourth thing that Jesus said, we read in Matthew 27, verse 46, which says, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus wasn't questioning God here when he said, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting from the first line in Psalm 22, and it's an expression of anguish, the anguish that Jesus felt being separated from God. And the reason for this is, out of everything that happened to Jesus, this was Jesus' greatest fear, that it was the worst thing, the thing that he was dreading the most, to be separated from God. Now, the physical agony that Jesus was going through was great, but the spiritual separation was even worse. So much so that he prayed about it earlier in the garden. But he said, at the end of his prayer, let your will be done. So Jesus was prepared to face his worst fear, but why? To save us. So how does that make you feel? Let me rephrase it. Let me make it personal. Jesus was prepared to face his worst fear to save you. Because with us, we can get lost in the crowd. But with you, you're an individual. And Jesus was prepared to face his worst fear to save you. Would you be prepared to face your worst fear to save someone? Jesus was. The fifth thing that Jesus said on the cross is in John 19, verse 28, which says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. So, why do you think that's important? Why would I flag up that? Jesus saying, I am thirsty. But it says earlier that it's Scripture being fulfilled. Because we read in Psalm 22, verse 15, these words, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, there are so many references to Jesus and the way that he will be treated, from his birth to his death to his resurrection. And we know from the Old Testament, which was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Jesus fulfilled them all. And this was it's just a minor part that can be lost. But when you, because most people, they know about in Micah, chapter 5, it tells us about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. It tells us he would be born to a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7. It tells us that he would be a prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy 18. That he would enter Jerusalem in triumph in Zechariah. That he would be rejected by his own people in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 118. That he would be betrayed by one of his own followers in Psalm 41. that the Messiah would be silenced and be silent before his accusers in Isaiah 53. And also in Isaiah 53, it tells us that he would be tried and condemned. In Isaiah 50, he would be struck and spat upon by his enemies, that he would be mocked and insulted in Psalm 22. It tells us in Psalm 22 also that he will be put to death by crucifixion. In Psalm 22, lots would be cast for his clothes. In Exodus 12, that none of his bones would be broken. In Isaiah 53, he would die as a sacrifice for our sins. In Psalm 16, he would be raised from the dead. And in Psalm 110, he would be at God's right hand. These were all written before the birth of Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled them all. And Jesus was fulfilling Scripture when he said, "I am thirsty." But also, it tells us of the human side of Jesus. Because how many of you put Jesus on this pedestal so high you can't touch it? And here Jesus is saying, "I'm just like you. I hurt. I feel pain. I feel love." I feel everything that you feel. I'm thirsty. The sixth thing that Jesus said was in John 19, verse 30. And this is what it says. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When Jesus said, "It is finished," what he was saying is that the old covenant of offering up sacrifices to God in the form of an animal for their sin had finished. Because if he hadn't have done this, we would be constantly having to make these sacrifices because of our sins. It's something that we would have to keep on doing again and again and again and again. Now, Jesus had given up his life for a once and all, a final offering. A final offering to God. So there are no more sacrifices that any of us need to make to God to be forgiven. There is nothing else that you can do to be forgiven, because Jesus has done it all. It is finished. He did it on that cross 2,000 years ago. And there is nothing that can be added to it, and there is nothing that can be taken away from it, because Jesus has done it. It is finished. It finished on that cross. It is finished. How often do you hear people say, "I can't be forgiven for that. I'm not good enough." You are. You can. You will. You shall be forgiven when you come to the cross. The final thing that Jesus said on the cross, we read in Luke 23, verse 46. And it says, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And with that, he breathed his last. So here, I just want to take you back there to that cross with the final words that Jesus said. And not what he said, but how he said it. He was hanging on this cross, and it wasn't a weak, weary voice that said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was in a loud voice. It's a lot of difference. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross? And what you hear is something like this. Father, into your hands I place my spirit. Because Jesus knew what was coming. Also, when you look at, this was the seventh thing that Jesus said. The sixth thing that Jesus said was that it is finished. And when you look at, let me take you back to creation. What happened on the sixth day? God said, it is finished. And what happened on the seventh day? God rested. What is the seventh thing that Jesus is saying? Into your hands I place my spirit. I'm coming to rest. So on that cross, on the sixth thing that Jesus said, when he said it was finished, that's why I said it as I did. You know, it is finished. It is finished. It was a triumphant cry that Jesus was giving on the cross. It is finished, which would have made heaven rejoice, but hell shake. Shake and tremble. Now follows the seventh cry, which is the cry of rest. The cry that Jesus gave to commend himself into the hands of God, to be seated at the right hand of God in heaven forever, to take his rest, to take his place in a place where God is. So the only way that you can get to God is by the way of the cross. Remember I said that Jesus wouldn't expect you to do anything that he wouldn't be prepared to do. How did Jesus get to God? Through the cross. How will you get to God? Same way as Jesus. Through the cross. There's no salvation apart from your faith in the work of Jesus on that cross at Calvary. So most people, when they look at the cross, they think of it as being horrendous, which is why I said with the next sermon I've got on the cross is to look at the horrendous side, the hopelessness that we feel. But don't lose sight of the final thing, the hope of the cross. Because it's not a place where we come to feel sad. It should be a place where we come to rejoice. It should be a place where we come back every day of our life, back to the cross and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us, because it's finished. There's nothing that we can add to it or take from it. Nothing needs to be added to it or taken from it. It is finished. So let us close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on that cross for us. We open the door of our lives and receive you as our Saviour and as our Lord. Thank you for forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life. Take control of our lives and make us the kind of person that you want us to be. Dear Jesus, we want you to be the centre of our lives and to help us. Lord, as I said at the beginning, we want to know you better. We want to know your power, your majesty, your love, your grace, your mercy. And we want to serve and obey you only, Lord. Father, into your hands we commit our spirit, for it is your business, not ours. You will know every shade of our suffering. You will care for us with your perfect fatherhood. Father God, there are so many decisions to make, and sometimes we don't know what to do. You said, if we lack wisdom, all we need do is ask. So we humbly ask that you would pour wisdom into our minds today and make the right choices, and may the right choices be made clear as we discern your will. Thank you, Lord. Amen.